Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have gray skies across most of the region right now, but expect partly cloudy conditions through the afternoon. Today stays mild, but a front will bring us some cooler temperatures for the weekend. I'll show you what it will feel like.
Plus, crews from at least eight different fire departments were up late fighting a fire in Johnston County. Their efforts to put that fire out.
And today, Durham school leaders will meet to talk about pay issues that have caused problems with classes and bus routes this week. Coming up, the two options they're considering that could resolve the problem.
And a rivalry will be renewed tomorrow night. It's the Battle of the Blues, what you need to know ahead of the big game. Whatever team you root for, it's always fun. Always a good time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that story coming up on your Groundhog Day. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, both teams have a reason to have a chip on their shoulder. So
yeah.
Always
yeah.
keeps it lively.
Exactly.
For certain.
Yeah.
Well, Punxsutawney Phil revealed early spring, at least, if you want to believe his 40% accuracy rate. But Elizabeth Gardner is spot on always over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
You guys are nice. Let's take a look at what's happening right now. We're looking at mostly cloudy skies, definitely some blue showing through here in Franklinton. As we get into the afternoon, we should see partly cloudy skies. So we'll see a mix of sun and clouds. And we're waiting on our local groundhogs, including Snurd over in Garner. Around lunchtime, Snurd will come out and take a peek. 43 degrees is our current temperature. So it's a milder start this morning. Our temperatures are at 39 in Clinton. It's 36 in Roxborough. But elsewhere, we're seeing temperatures in the 40s this morning, which is about 5 to 15 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. We do have a cold front on the way. When the cold front sweeps through this afternoon, it will pick up the wind a bit. We'll see some gusts out of the north at about 20 miles per hour. And that is going to bring us some colder temperatures for the weekend. Of course, we're waiting to see whether our groundhogs see their shadow or not. It could go either way with partly cloudy skies. And of course, Punxsutawney Phil has already declared an early spring for folks in Pennsylvania. And I guarantee you that's exactly what they wanted to hear. Our temperatures are almost feeling like spring. We're going to see a lovely afternoon with highs in the low 60s. But we'll take a more scientific look at what we could see for the month of February coming up in just a bit. Brian?
It's 802, Elizabeth, and we're just getting reports of a crash in downtown Apex at Salem Street at Center Street. Working to get some details about that. Also watching that camera at 147 at Briggs Avenue near downtown Durham. There's a report of a minor crash on the northbound side of 147. That's here on the left side of your screen between Briggs and Alston. I'm not seeing any big delays on the camera or the sensors. About a 3-minute backup overall as you head out of the 885 area through downtown Durham. So we'll watch that, let you know if that changes. But right now, traffic is looking okay. And really, throughout the rest of Durham, we're not picking up any big problems on 85 or I-40. Taking a look around Wake County, it's been fairly quiet here over the past few minutes. Still seeing some lingering delays is on 440 westbound between 87 and Capitol Boulevard, and coming out of Wake Forest toward Capitol, or away from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard. Some of the traffic that was backed up because of an earlier crash around Main Street now is working its way down toward Durant Road. So we're starting to see some congestion in that area, about a 3-minute delay overall. In Garner, watch for a minor crash on Timber Drive near US 70, but right now it's not causing any big problems as far as the sensors indicate.
Crews were busy until 3:30 this morning fighting a fire in Johnston County. That fire started around 10 last night at a business near Dunn on Holly Grove Road. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker as firefighters say a shop on that property caught fire. No one was hurt. You can see here the pictures, though, the flames. A firefighter on that scene sent us. Pretty strong flames there. At least eight fire departments came to that scene to put the fire out, and we're working to learn what caused it.
And today, a pay dispute that has led to protests in Durham schools could get some resolution. There is no sick out today as staff awaits the school board's decision. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey is in Durham this morning. And Kelsey, the board is weighing two different options to fix this problem.
Today, the school board will be meeting here at DPS's Staff Development Center to talk about making a decision. This is the first time that the board will be meeting since last Thursday's packed discussion. Hundreds of employees showed up demanding answers about their pay. The board now has two options. Option one gives all staff at least a 4% raise, but people won't be paid for out-of-state or private practice experience. Option two includes an 11% raise. It also would restore the 2022-2023 salary steps. Under option two, some employees would still receive less money than they were told in January. Heidi Jo Hetland is a part of the Durham Association of Educators, and she says the group should have had input on this issue.
these decisions are being made without anybody that's on the classified staff, without any educators present. It's being made by board members. There's zero transparency on what has got us to this point. And if we had had a seat at the table, the DA had a seat at the table from the very start, then I don't think we definitely would not be in this place.
We'll keep you updated on what comes out of this meeting today. And the meeting is scheduled for this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Kelsey Coppe, WRAL News in Durham.
Clayton police say three young men are charged in a shooting and robbery. 18-year-old Andrew Teague, 19-year-old Jaden Chatman, and a 17-year-old are charged with attempted first-degree murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and conspiracy. This happened Sunday in Clayton. Anyone with information is asked to call Clayton police. An advocacy group fighting for the rights of public safety employees killed on the way to and from work is celebrating a victory right now. It comes after the death of Raleigh police officer Gabe Torres. The state now recognizes it as happening in the line of duty. Torres was one of the five people killed in the Headingham shooting in 2022. It happened while he was on his way to work. His family spent months fighting for his death to be classified as in the line of duty, but the state wouldn't recognize it. With help from the Raleigh Police Protective Association, that has now changed. A look at the state budget shows amendments for public safety worker death benefits to include law enforcement murdered by gun while off duty but on the way to work. That makes the Torres family eligible for those death benefits.
Unfortunately, Officer Torres' wife had to wait, you know, some time to receive this, but, the lady's better than never, so she will receive these benefits.
And WRAL reached out to the Torres family. We have not heard back. Now, Armstrong says the state provided $200,000 in benefits for them. He also said the fight continues for federal benefits and for Officer Torres to be recognized on the Officer Down Memorial page and the National Police Memorial in Washington, D.C.
A fiery plane crash in a mobile home park in Florida has left multiple people dead, and we're expecting an update this morning from officials about the scale of this tragedy. This crash happened just after 7 o'clock last night in Clearwater, that's just outside of Tampa. Authorities say the pilot reported an engine failure before crashing into a home, and the flames quickly spread to others. Officials say the death toll includes people who were on the aircraft as well as on the ground. They have not revealed how many people were killed. The FAA and National Transportation Safety Board are investigating.
It's Groundhog Day today, and a family event in Garner is celebrating an annual tradition. Snurd the groundhog will make his prediction for an early spring or six more weeks of winter. The event gets started at White Deer Park on Aversboro Road, 10 o'clock this morning. There'll be other live animals there visiting the Nature Center, along with educational activities for kids. And then Snurd will come out and make his prediction at noon. And Sylvia, that prognosticating armadillo from Apex, will make her prediction this morning as well. She visits a different elementary school each year. This year, she'll visit Olive Chapel Elementary School. Last year, Sylvia predicted an early spring, so we'll see what her thoughts are this time around.
She's cute. Mm-hmm. I think she's adorable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, UNC and Duke will renew their rivalry on the court tomorrow night in the Battle of the Blues. ESPN's College Game Day basketball pregame show will be in Chapel Hill for the big game. They'll be live from the Dean Smith Center tomorrow. The hour-long show will be live starting at 11 a.m. Lines can start forming at 7:30 tomorrow morning when the Smith Center doors open at 8:30. The UNC clear bag policy will be in effect for the game.
UNC has home court advantage for this one. Duke won both games in the regular season last year. WRAL will have team coverage of tomorrow's game and all the fanfare. The game is at 6:30. We'll be helping you get ready for it on our 6 p.m. newscast. And be sure to tune in to WRAL News Plus as soon as the game ends for your Battle of the Blues post-game coverage, live reports from our crews in Durham and Chapel Hill. You can find WRAL News Plus on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum Channel 1257, or in the WRAL app.
Coming up 6 months after the Maui wildfires, things are slowly returning back to normal. Coming up, we'll hear from the owner of the first restaurant to reopen since the fires and the efforts to rebuild the community.
Plus, today is National Wear Red Day for Go Red for Women, and we are raising awareness about the cardiovascular risk factors for women and the warning signs you should be looking out for.
And it's also Groundhog Day, so we're watching the cloud cover right now in Warrenton. It's fairly cloudy, and we're seeing that across much of the region. I'll show you when we can see a little more sunshine later today and a mild afternoon coming up.
8:12 is the time right now. We give you this live look from our WRL LiveCam network, Chapel Hill, the Franklin Street intersection this morning. Some clouds still hanging around there, but they'll push off and give us some sunshine today. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. And it is much warmer when you step outside this morning. Yeah, we're still in winter, Elizabeth, but warmer.
We do, and it's cloudy out there, too. We take a look at Goldsboro, as well as Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant and our Fayetteville newsroom there. Looking at a good bit of cloud cover in Chapel Hill, I can see a few blue spots there kind of peeking through the clouds. I feel like by the time we get to lunchtime, we're going to see a little bit of a break. But later in the afternoon, we'll see this front coming through. It will be a rain-free front, but it will bring some clouds along with it. So it'll be partly to variably cloudy through the afternoon. That's going to open the door to some cooler air that filters in for the weekend. Our highs over the weekend will be about 10 degrees. Cooler than what we'll see today. Here's a look at Futurecast, and we're definitely seeing some cloud cover across the region, but we'll pause it there right at lunchtime. And we should, at that point, maybe see more sunshine than cloud cover, maybe significant for the groundhogs around here. And then during the afternoon, a bit more cloud cover filters in along with that front, and the wind will pick up a little bit too. But a mild day at 63. Tomorrow, we're 53, so a good bit cooler, and then 55 on Sunday. For the most part, we're going to see dry conditions and a good bit of sunshine. Groundhog Day forecast, of course, at Snerd in Garner. I think it's a 50-50 chance whether Snerd sees its shadow for six more weeks of winter or not. Punxsutawney Phil already came out and saw a shadow, so early spring for folks up there in Pennsylvania, and they were very happy about that. All right, so let's put a little science to this. We do a seven-day forecast because our short-rain forecast, where we can show you specific times of precipitation or temperatures, are really good for about 7 days or so. So if we want to look at something beyond that, we look at the climate models, which show trends, but nothing specific. So we can look ahead for the month of February, and it looks like we'll have potentially near normal temperatures, or at least we have a good chance of near normal temperatures. So what does that look like? Well, today the high is 53 for normal. By the middle of the month, the normal is 56. By March 1st, it's 59. By March 15th, it's 63, which is the high temperature that we're looking at for today. So if we have near normal temperatures, it would keep us mostly in the 50s for the month of February, but we're still likely to have at least a few ups and downs. If you're headed to the mountains this weekend, looking for a little snow, you want to hang on to some winter. The ski resorts are in good shape right now. They'll see highs in the 40s up around Boone for tomorrow and for Sunday. Down in the southern mountains, temperatures will be in the 50s. If you're a beach person, there'll be lots of sunshine along the coast both days, but it's still cool. Temperatures in the mid-40s to low and mid-50s for both Saturday and Sunday. And of course, we'll see mid-50s here too. 53 Saturday, 55 on Sunday, and 50s stick with us for most of next week. Check out some of those overnight lows. We're going to be very close to freezing for much of next week, Brian.
8:15 right now, Elizabeth. I want to take you to downtown Apex here on the WRL LiveCam network because we can see that crash I mentioned just a little while ago at the intersection of Salem Street at Center Street. You can see that ambulance over here in a parking lot. All the activity apparently has been moved into the parking lot, so we're not seeing any problems there on Salem or Center Street. Just wanted to show you that traffic is flowing freely there through downtown Apex. We still have that crash reported up on 147 northbound just before you get to Alston Avenue. Still not seeing any big delays with that one. On the southwest side of Raleigh, there may still be some activity out at Tryon Road at Lake Dam Road with that earlier crash that was blocking some lanes, created some delays. The delays have worked themselves out, but still, Raleigh 911 says there's a unit out there, so move over at least one lane if you can to give them some room to work. And in Garner, they still have that crash reported at Timber Drive right around the US 70 intersection there where Timber Drive becomes Hammond Road. Still watching a little bit of a backup on 440 westbound this morning from 87 to just beyond Newbern Avenue, adding up to about a 3-minute delay overall, but overall it's a smooth ride as you head out toward Capitol Boulevard, Glenwood, and beyond.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, as Elizabeth mentioned, it's wet for us around here, but take a look at new video into our newsroom. A much different scenario on the West Coast, particularly San Diego County. A flood advisory in effect this morning. San Diego County drenched by a supercharged storm for the second time in less than 2 weeks. The weather created runoff in areas recently flooded and snarled traffic on freeways. A number of officials have been just updating San Diego County residents for the better part of the morning. So far this morning, thousands of customers remain without power. We'll, of course, monitor this story for any new developments here in the WRA Live Center.
Ken, thanks. More natural disaster. Nearly 6 months now after the devastating wildfires in Maui, a restaurant is the first business on Lahaina's Front Street to reopen. Chelsea Davis reports the owners say this major milestone is an important part of the healing process.
How is everything going over here?
Very good.
Some may say there's starting to be a sense of normalcy in Lahaina.
Enjoy, you guys.
Mala Ocean Tavern is the first business on Front Street to reopen after the fires nearly 6 months ago. Front Street is known as Ground Zero. The owners were able to get the National Guard roadblock to move down just a bit, just so people can come to their restaurant now. And everyone is welcome. The rubble surrounding them is still widespread, but the owners say reopening was important.
We totally recognize we are reopening Lahaina. You know, we are reopening Front Street, and we accept that responsibility very seriously because we want to rebuild this community. You know, we're a part of it.
Caleb Hopkins lost his home in the fire. He says reopening gives him and his team hope, and they hope it can do the same for their customers.
As somebody that lost everything and we still have this, you come down here and you just see it's okay. You know, it's okay. Like, yeah, you'll probably cry when you walk in the door. We all did, but it really is part of the healing process.
There's a sign when you enter the restaurant saying that they kindly ask their guests to refrain from asking staff members about the fires because all of them are personally affected.
I know some people might not be ready to come down here, and that's totally fine. But there is a sense of coming in here and having a meal and feeling all of the great feelings you had. It's healing me, and hopefully it can heal others as well.
They respectfully ask everyone to come down and support them and all the other local businesses in West Maui because they need it now more than ever.
Chelsea Davis reporting there. And another sign, Lahaina is returning to normal. Preschoolers at Lahaina Head Start returned to school this week. It was the only preschool that was spared from the fire.
Tomorrow marks 1 year since that devastating train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. 38 cars jumped the track. Some even burst into flames, leaking toxic chemicals. In October, EPA report did not show any concerning levels of contaminants. State regulators also say the tap water is safe. But many in East Palestine still worry about the long-term health impacts. Norfolk Southern says the cleanup is nearly complete. Trains still run throughout the day.
More than 100 people on Cunard Cruise Line's ship are not having an enjoyable vacation right now. There is illness spreading on board. At least 120 passengers and 16 crew members on the Queen Victoria are suffering from vomiting and diarrhea. That ship took off from Florida on January 22nd for a 16-night cruise that ends in San Francisco on February 7th. CDC says the cause of the illness is not known, but those symptoms are consistent with norovirus. Nearly 2,000 passengers and crew are on board in total.
Alabama lawmakers have announced a bill that makes it a felony to fake a kidnapping. This bill is in response to the incident last year where Carly Russell staged her own abduction. The 24-year-old eventually admitted to the scam, but not until after an extensive 3-day search was performed. The bill would punish someone who files a false report of an abduction with up to a decade in prison. If Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signs it into law, it would be scheduled to go into effect October 1st. A Robeson County man is left looking for answers after a state agency that agreed to build him a new home has backed out on the plans. Derek Virgil's home was badly damaged in Hurricanes Matthew and Florence, and now Rebuild NC says it can no longer help him. Virgil says Rebuild NC told him 2 months ago that he was approved for a new home after living in the damaged one for years. He was told to move out and shut off the utilities. But 2 weeks ago, Rebuild NC told him the deal was off because he did not have enough land to build a new home. Now he has nowhere to go. Virgil was told that he has 90 days before his case is closed. Rebuild NC told him they have no plans to help him turn back on the utilities they told him to turn off.
For the first time in more than 20 years, federal authorities are making meaningful updates to regulations on opioid treatment programs. The programs provide medications like methadone for people with opioid use disorder. The final rule update from the Department of Health and Human Services will allow opioid disorder treatment through telemedicine and at home. The changes are designed to make getting treated easier.
And today's also a reminder from the American Heart Association that cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in women, including different racial and ethnic groups. The risk factors for women include an unhealthy diet, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure. And new this morning, the findings of a recent study show that Black women under 35 being treated for high blood pressure are three times more likely to be at risk for having a stroke. The preliminary findings will be presented next week at an international stroke conference. Now, we should also note that women are more likely than men to have heart attack symptoms unrelated to chest pain. Doctors say cardiovascular issues can mimic other symptoms. For example, neck, jaw, or shoulder discomfort or pain in the abdomen can be symptoms of heart disease in women. All factors for all of us to keep in mind as we monitor our heart health. Coming up, after weeks of disputes between Durham school employees and the district, a solution is near. We'll break down the two pay options classified employees could receive in hopes to get things back on track for the district.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Friday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Well, it looks like we'll see spring soon. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. A lot of people, I think, excited about this.
Yeah, Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow. So that means at least for folks up in Pennsylvania, potentially they have an early spring coming their way. 43 in Apex right now is 43 in Durham, 41 in Fayetteville. We're looking at cloudy skies right now. As you head out the door, temperatures are in the upper 30s to mid 40s. So it's cool, but it's not terribly cold out there right now. Walking the dog this afternoon is going to feel comfortable with temperatures in the low 60s, and this evening temperatures will be in the mid 50s. Around lunchtime, we'll see if we have enough sunshine to get a pass or not on winter, Brian.
827, Elizabeth. We're watching 440 westbound from New Bern Avenue out toward the Brentwood Road area. Our partners at Waze are reporting a crash out there. Not seeing anything on the camera and not seeing any big delays on the sensors right now. About a 4-minute backup overall from 87 out toward Capitol Boulevard. And then once you hit Capitol, it looks great heading toward Glenwood Avenue and Wade Avenue. On 147 northbound in downtown Durham, there's a report of a crash just before you get to Alston Avenue. Not seeing anything here on the camera. Our sensors are not indicating any big delays, just a 3-minute backup coming in from 885.
Brian, this afternoon, the Durham School Board will meet to find a solution to the pay dispute between staff and the district. There are two options on the table for the classified employees' future paychecks. We'll explain the specific pay options on Fox 50. That meeting starts at 3 o'clock today. And next on Fox 50, we'll also talk about what we know about the social media threat that caused Nash County schools to go under lockdown yesterday. And coming up next on Today, diving into the mob wife trend.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Partly cloudy skies right now in Warrenton, but we're seeing some gray skies in parts of the viewing area. We'll walk through hour by hour and show you when we'll see the most sunshine and eventually some cooler temperatures arriving for the weekend coming up.
Plus, the end of a weeks-long dispute over pay for Durham school employees could soon be over. The two salary options school leaders are considering and when they're expected to have an update.
Carolina is looking for a little redemption after getting swept in last year's Battle of the Blues. What you need to know if you are headed to the first matchup here in the regular season in Chapel Hill. Dean Dome will be rocking tomorrow, college game day there. Oh, what a great scene, college basketball season.
So fun.
I'm Jeff Hogan, good to have you with us.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, we'll get to that in coming up in a little bit. But first we have to talk about the weather today because that's going to be beautiful. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look over the Bull City, Durham. I mean, we're going to warm up until like the 60s today.
It is going to be a very pleasant afternoon for us. And we'll see partly cloudy skies. Right now we're seeing a few holes in the clouds over Durham, but we'd call that mostly cloudy. 43 degrees is our temperature officially at RDU, and our wind is coming out of the southwest, and that's what's going to bump up our temperatures about 10 degrees above normal for today. It is 37 in Roxborough, but that's the only spot now in the 30s. We're looking at low to mid 40s in most places, and that's going to be around 5 to 15 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. We have a cold front that'll come through mid to late afternoon, and with that, the winds will be gusting up to 20 miles per hour. That's also going to usher in some colder temperatures for the weekend. It will really just bring us back to normal. Groundhog Day, there was lots of excitement this morning in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, when Phil did not see his shadow, so they're seeing an early spring. But we're waiting on Snurd this morning up till around lunchtime, and we'll see what Snurd sees. It could go either way. I mean, it's cloudy right now. We'll see if we see a few more breaks in the clouds by lunchtime. No matter what, it's a mild afternoon with temperatures in the low 60s, and we'll talk about what is normal for this time of year and how long we may see that for the month of February. Coming up, Brian.
Of course, Elizabeth, you come out of the ground and see if you see your shadow. That's how you determine the forecast for the rest of the winter, right?
Right.
It is 8:31 as we take a look at traffic over on 440 at New Bern Avenue. We had a report of a crash between New Bern and Brentwood Road there on 440 westbound. Sensors and cameras, though, were not showing any big problems. Still, I'm going to keep an eye on it. About a three-minute delay showing up right now between 87 out toward New Bern Avenue. Also, as we take a look around the rest of the triangle, some good news. It looks like our major routes generally are in good shape in Wake, Durham, and Orange County. An earlier crash at Tryon Road at Lake Dam Road has cleared. Also, that earlier crash in Garner on Timber Drive at 70 is cleared in the past few minutes. Still seeing a couple of minor incidents out there in Wake County, but they're not causing any problems as far as we can tell. Look out in Durham. There's a report of a crash on 147 northbound just before Alston Avenue. But again, not seeing any signs of problems on the camera. And the sensors there indicating only a three-minute backup between 885 heading into downtown Durham.
All right, thank you, Brian. Crews were busy until 3:30 this morning fighting a fire in Johnston County. That fire started around 10 p.m. last night at a business near Dunn on Holly Grove Road. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. Firefighters say a shop on the property caught fire. Luckily, nobody was hurt. You can see here the pictures of the flames a firefighter sent us. It took eight fire departments to put that fire out. We are working to learn what caused this fire. A mother in Roanoke Rapids is facing felony child abuse charges. 26-year-old Tracy Fleming is in custody after investigators found what they described as emotional and mental torture of two children under 16. Police say the injuries were so severe that due to the age of the victims, no other details are being released. Fleming is being held in the Halifax County Detention Center with no bond.
Today, a funeral is happening for a teen killed in a crash on I-95 last week. 17-year-old Alan Lockamy will be laid to rest after a service at Edgerton United Methodist Church in Selma. 4 o'clock this afternoon is when that happens. Lockamy is one of four teens who died in the crash in the early morning hours of January 22nd.
Today, President Biden will meet with the families of three soldiers killed in Jordan. These meetings will happen at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. Sergeant William Rivers, a Specialist Kennedy Sanders, and Specialist Brianna Moffitt died in that strike. They are all from Georgia and worked out of the 718th Engineer Company at Fort Moore. And today, the state's Violence Prevention Advisory Committee will meet to talk about strategies for making communities safer. The committee is made up of 25 people from across the state, including law enforcement leaders, health professionals, and community activists. Their meeting gets started at 10 o'clock this morning.
We learned the name of the man arrested after a boy was shot at a Raleigh apartment complex. It's 30-year-old Travis Calhoun. WRL Sky 5 flew over the scene on Otter's Run Court yesterday, right near the intersection of Atlantic Avenue and Spring Forest Road. The juvenile victim is expected to survive. Crime scene tape surrounded the parking lot there, and at least two shell casings were found at the scene.
Today, Nash County Public Schools will return to normal after going on a soft lockdown yesterday because of a social media threat. Officials say all 28 schools went into lockdown just as a precaution. There was an increased police presence at the schools while that threat was investigated. Officials determined the account that would post to the threat was fake through their investigating.
Groundhog Day today, and a family event in Garner is celebrating the annual tradition with Snurd the groundhog, making his prediction for an early spring or six more weeks of winter. We'll see. The event gets started at White Deer Park on Aversboro Road, 10 o'clock this morning. There'll be other live animals visiting the Nature Center there, along with educational activities for the kids. Snurd will then come out and make his prediction at noon.
And Chapel Hill will be extra busy all day tomorrow. ESPN's College Game Day will be in town in the morning ahead of the Battle of the Blues that evening. Town officials are warning that traffic and parking is going to be really difficult tomorrow. The town is asking drivers just to be aware of increased pedestrian traffic and to give them the right of way. East Rosemary Street will be closed to through traffic. On-street parking will be unavailable on Franklin Street between Henderson and Church starting at 4. Any cars left in those spaces will be towed. And UNC looking for revenge after Duke won both games last year. WREL will have team coverage of tomorrow's game and all the fanfare during and after the game. The game is at 6:30. We'll be helping you get ready for it on our 6 p.m. newscast.
So be sure to tune in for WREL News Plus as soon as the game ends for your Battle of the Blues post-game coverage with live reports from our crews in Durham and Chapel Hill. You can find WREL News Plus on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum Channel 1257, or the WREL app.
We are days away from the big game. One woman gearing up to watch it in a very special way. Just ahead, how she is going to the big game for free and spending the night in Allegiant Stadium.
Plus, it was supposed to be a special moment captured by a friend, but an unsuspecting crasher stole the show. Coming up, how this couple's best friend missed the biggest moment of their lives.
I love that. All right, and we are going to take you to a camera to show you White Lake. Here you go. Beautiful. A little cloudy out there, but we're gearing up for a gorgeous day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has her forecast next. Get out. It's 8:40 right now, and we do have a little bit of blue sky trying to peek out here in Durham, but a good bit of cloud cover across our region right now. It looks like we might clear out a bit around lunchtime, and then a cold front comes through this evening or late afternoon, and we may see more clouds at that point. 43 is our current temperature. We're on our way into the low 60s. That's going to be about 10 degrees above normal for this time of year, so enjoy it, even though we may not see bright sunshine all day long. The temperatures should be on the mild side. We take a look at futurecast. We're seeing a lot of cloud cover from Durham and Raleigh southward right now. Notice how that slides southward between now and lunchtime. And at lunchtime, futurecast is showing a good bit of sunshine. But then we have the front that'll come through. And behind that front, we'll see some cloud cover, especially from Raleigh eastward. There's 5 o'clock. So we're going to see the clouds coming and going. And of course, it is Groundhog Day. And we're waiting to see what Snerd and Garner has to say about the rest of the winter. It could go either way with these clouds that are hanging around out there. Right now, temperatures are in the 40s. It's 48 in South Hill, but 41 in Fayetteville and Clinton. And we have temperatures anywhere in between, which is anywhere from about 5 to 15 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. So waiting on Snerd. They start the festivities there in Garner at 10, but I think that Snerd comes out closer to lunchtime. So we'll be watching for that and see what happens. Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania was very happy to see that Phil did not see his shadow. So they're looking at an early spring. Or something like that. Around town today, it may feel a little bit like an early spring at 63, but then we're cooler over the weekend. We'll see a high today of 59 in Durham, 65 in Fayetteville, but this is the front that will drop southward, and it will help to draw down some colder air, and we'll begin to feel that overnight tonight and into the weekend, and it looks like for most of next week, too. We're going to see more of a flow coming out of the north-northwest. We're not talking about an Arctic outbreak by any means, but it'll just pull us back down to normal. Normal high 53, 63 will be our high today. And then 53 Saturday, and we'll hold it in the low to mid 50s well into next week. Lots of fun around our area over the weekend. A big one in Chapel Hill is Battle of the Blues. And of course, beginning with the ESPN game day. If you're headed out there to get in line at 7:30, grab a coat, take it with you. It'll be cold. If you're wandering around Chapel Hill, temperatures will be in the low 50s and then game time, mid 40s. It does look nice and dry, and it's dry and cold for the Krispy Kreme Challenge too. Temperatures at race time there in downtown Raleigh in the upper 30s. For us, it's a nice dry weekend, and we're looking at near normal temperatures for the bulk of this coming week. Check out some of those morning lows, though. We're near freezing almost every morning this weekend and early next week.
Thanks, Elizabeth. After nearly 2 weeks of protests in Durham schools, employees could get a resolution to their pay dispute today. They're not planning a sick out today as they wait for the school board's decision. WRO's Kelsey Coffey shares the details of potential solutions school leaders are considering.
Today, the school board will be meeting here at DPS's Staff Development Center to talk about making a decision. This is the first time that the board will be meeting since last Thursday's packed discussion. Hundreds of employees showed up demanding answers about their pay. The board now has two options. Option one gives all staff at least a 4% raise, but people won't be paid for out-of-state or private practice experience. Option two includes an 11% raise. It also would restore the 2022-2023 salary steps. Under option two, some employees would still receive less money than they were told in January. Heidi Jo Hetland is a part of the Durham Association of Educators, and she says the group should have had input on this issue.
These decisions are being made without anybody that's on the classified staff, without any educators present. It's being made by board members. There's zero transparency on what has got us to this point. And if we had had a seat at the table, the DA had a seat at the table from the very start, then I don't think we definitely would not be in this place.
We'll keep you updated on what comes out of this meeting today. And the meeting is scheduled for this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Durham.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, the trial of Jennifer Crumbly is set to resume this morning in Pontiac, Michigan. This is a live look inside that courtroom this morning. The Michigan mother is on trial for a mass shooting carried out by her son, Ethan Crumbly. When she took the stand yesterday, she told the court back in 2021 she had no idea her then 15-year-old son, Ethan, was struggling with his mental health and planning a murderous rampage at Oxford High School. Four students died in that shooting. Ethan Crumbly's father is set to go on trial separately.
Well, there is something for everyone around the Triangle this weekend.
From a dog mom get-together to a famous comedian coming to Raleigh, but we start with the annual Krispy Kreme Challenge. What a tasty way to do this. 2,400 calories, 12 donuts within 5 miles in about an hour. The annual Krispy Kreme Challenge is back. The race tests not only your physical fitness, but your stomach. It gets started Saturday at 8 a.m. at the Bell Tower on NC State's campus. The runners will race from campus to the Krispy Kreme on Person Street and then back. If you're out driving around that area, by the way, beware some of the road closures and folks out there with their donuts.
And in early Galentine's, get together for the Dog Moms of Durham. This Valentine's themed social meetup lets your dog paint their own canvas masterpiece. There will also be treats and goodies for both dogs and their owners. It is from 3 to 6 p.m. at Bull City Cider Works.
Comedian Theo Vaughn will be at PNC Arena tonight for his Return of the Rat tour. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster, starting at about $60 after taxes. And the show gets started at 8 o'clock tonight. Doors open at 7.
Leaders from across the state took part in a day of giving at a Boys and Girls Club in Durham yesterday. This is video from that event. More than 100 members from several organizations, including the U.S. Marshals Service, the Salvation Army, and the Durham Sheriff's Office, all helped out. Volunteers had the chance to play games with the children and provide tutoring and mentorship.
Many North Carolinians outside of Warren County may not have heard of Soul City. Back in the early 1970s, it was one of 14 so-called new towns started under a federally funded program. It was the vision of Floyd McKissick Sr. to develop more than 3,000 acres of land in Warren County. It was supposed to be a black utopian community with homes, jobs, and recreational facilities. While McKissick's vision was never realized, today Soul City still stands as a symbol of what could have been.
Wonderful city, brought together people of different races, allowed opportunities, regardless of your background, to excel, to be a part of a vibrant community.
Many of the buildings around Soul City are abandoned now, but new homes are being built and people are living in Soul City. Coming up tonight at 5:55 on WRAL, we look at the history of Soul City, what derailed that project, and the hopes for the future as we celebrate Black History Month.
Well, Elmo opened up America's eyes to a grim truth. The kids aren't all right. We told you earlier this week about the character's post on X asking just simply, how is everybody doing? The answers got real. Thousands of people chimed in with posts like, I'm depressed and broke. I'm at my lowest. Thanks for asking. And speaking with CNN, the people behind Elmo say this is a reminder to check in with your friends.
Elmo didn't realize that when you ask someone how they're doing, you have to be ready because maybe someone's not doing well or maybe somebody is. But it's an important question to ask, and Elmo's learned a lot about that.
And of course, Elmo has been a mainstay on Sesame Street for decades now. People who grew up with him as children are now old enough to have adult kids of their own. The official Sesame Street X account chimed in to direct posters to direct them to mental health resources.
Here's a good one. Johnston County brother and sister Robbie and Samantha, along with their spouses, got the surprise of a lifetime when their babies were born on the same day. This brother and sister don't share the same birthday, but now their daughters do. Cousins Elena and Riley are very close in age, born on December 17th, about 15 hours apart. Riley was born 12:40 a.m. Elena was born just before 3 in the afternoon that day. The families even got placed in recovery rooms right across the hall from each other at Wake Bend North.
In the hospital, we were lucky enough to be on rooms like across from each other in recovery. So, you know, like we took the babies over there and they got to meet each other.
Well, they'll be fast friends. What a celebration. Congratulations to those families.
Built-in best friend right there. All right, well, fans of the Netflix's hit series The Crown can now take home a piece of the show. Several props and costumes from the Netflix series are up for auction in London. There's plenty of items to choose from, including a gold stagecoach, the replica of Princess Diana's revenge dress, and even the set for their Downing Street home. There's already an online auction underway, and live auction takes place next week. I can only imagine the prices.
Actor Garrett Morris is celebrating his 87th birthday with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The actor is known as one of Saturday Night Live's original Not Ready for Primetime players. He also appeared on shows like The Jeffersons, Married with Children, Martin, The Jamie Foxx Show, plenty more appearances. Morris joins other SNL alums on the Walk of Fame, including Chevy Chase and John Belushi.
In today's entertainment news, the People's Choice Awards is honoring Adam Sandler. Some members of the Grateful Dead are headed to Vegas, and Bryan Cranston talks about his Argyle character. Here's David Daniel with the Hollywood Minute.
The Marx Brothers and Jerry Lewis and Laurel and Hardy. And
icons all, and now so is Adam Sandler. The comic actor is set to receive the People's Icon Award at this year's People's Choice Awards. He'll be honored at the awards ceremony April 18th. Dead & Company lives again at Sphere. The Grateful Dead offshoot band, which wrapped its final tour last year, has announced 3 shows a week for 6 weeks at Sphere in Las Vegas, with a unique set list each week. The shows begin May 16th. More info and ticket options at deadandcompany.com.
I want all assets on them now.
I need her to write the next chapter.
Argyle co-star Bryan Cranston says even in a big, fun action movie, building a character is essential.
You're starting to spin that dial, and it can grow larger or more subtle and nuanced. Look at the way I'm,
notice
this?
Yeah. Just
it's
absolutely
connected to my body,
yes,
see?
Yeah, all
and,
in tune.
Yeah. And that's what I do on the set, and it annoys everybody. Do you want it high, bigger, lower?
Argyle is now in theaters. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
It's a new era in Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers formally introduced their new head coach and general manager Thursday at Bank of America Stadium. Here they are. They say they are ready for a new breed.
Dogs. Like, we need some dogs.
Yeah, they do. Dan Morgan, the new GM, knows a thing or two about dogs helping the Panthers get to a Super Bowl as a player. Now he is tasked with fixing up their roster.
Football fans are spending thousands on their tickets to the Super Bowl, but one woman will get to go for free and spend the night. Jametta Barden from Atlanta was chosen to sleep in an Allegiant Stadium suite the night before the Super Bowl. She won the ultimate upgrade contest put on by Courtyard by Marriott. Barden is bringing her son with her for that sleepover. The suite looks like an upscale hotel room with a view of the field right about the 10-yard line.
All right, well, a best friend tasked with catching a proposal on video got a little distracted. This video is going viral on social media. The moment the boyfriend reached in his pocket for the ring, her best friend Mary got distracted by a rustling noise, turns the camera, and finds this, a raccoon. The camera moved with her, and when she turned back, she missed the entire "Will you marry me" on one knee part. Listen, I'm still waiting for this moment to happen for myself. If my best friend did this, I would be so mad.
Major whoops right there.
Oh, my gosh.
I just hope for you when it does happen, there are no raccoons involved.
I hope not either.
All right, we're headed off to break. Raccoon-free lottery numbers on your screen right now. Another check on the forecast and traffic ahead.